needs to be changed.
Politics, progress, game boards, objects, view like pawns till we change up our mindset. Value of the dollars at the center of this conflict, their lives only matter if they serve to make a profit. But if a midget sees further on the shoulders of the giant, then we should see further than the tyrant and build a future within alliance with success is our science in the quest to go higher. It's the heart of the city.
Wake up, world. You are listening to The Heart of the City. Happy Wednesday. I'm your host, Malik Boyd. I hope that wherever you are in good spirits and all is well. The show topic, Healing the City. There is so much we are going to talk about today. The studio is full. The schedule is full. And so we're going to get right to it. On the line, I have a legend amongst legends. Reverend Bonnie Camarda is on the line. If you are anywhere in the Delaware Valley, anywhere in this humongous footprint that we call the tri-state, you know of her work, you know of her efforts and her passion to not only heal the city and our community, but to heal the country. And so it is an honor to have you on the line, Reverend Bonnie.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be able to pray for our city.
Absolutely.
And for cities around the United States.
Yes, ma'am. And so we're going to ask you to do our 2-minute prayer for the city.
Yes, we'll do 2 minutes. It will be. Father, we just thank you for who you are, for what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you because every day is a day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, and I pray for the city of Philadelphia that you will bless each individual within the struggles that they have. That you will touch their body if they are afflicted or inflicted. Father, that you will speak a word of encouragement, that they will say that they can do all things because you are the one who strengthens them. Lord, I pray that you will give wisdom to our council people, that you will give wisdom to our mayor and senators and Congress who are over making decisions that affect the city. And Lord, I just come to you and ask you to really teach us how to pray, how to lift a voice to you, because we need to be healed. Our land needs to be healed. And that only can be done through you and with you. And I want to thank you and praise you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We thank you so much for that prayer, Reverend Bonnie. Can you tell the listening audience where they can worship and fellowship with you in your ministry?
I'm with the Salvation Army, and we have nine churches in the city of Philadelphia. We are in every neighborhood. We have what I will suggest is that they will go to the Salvation Army website and pull the locations in the city of Philadelphia. 55th and Market, 715 North Broad, 4300 Wissahickon Avenue, Allegheny and Masher, Kensington and Allegheny, Rising Sun Avenue. Then we have different options for different part of the city.
Wonderful. We thank you so much for taking time out to call in and to pray over not only our city, but the country. And we pray God's continued blessings on your life.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Thank you. And so in the studio with me, if you are streaming live, you see a power broker to my right. Big shouts out to Mike Young and the crew of PK Financial who are in the green room in support of this powerhouse that I have next to me, Phyllis Cater, the CEO of Spectrum Health Services. CEO.
Thank you so much.
She is in the building. And so you're going to find out more about the great work of Spectrum from the top. And so, Phyllis, let's talk about this. What is Spectrum Health Services for those who may not know?
Okay. Spectrum Health Services is what is called a community health center. And community health centers in this country started through legislation during the Johnson years, part of the war on poverty, mm-hmm. when communities across the country were losing their private practitioners
okay.
because the cities were transitioning.
Right.
And so the only access to care in a lot of large cities were emergency rooms.
Wow.
And or well baby health departments had well baby clinics.
Mm-hmm.
There was mobilization around the nation of congressmen headed by Ted Kennedy, but he and many other congressmen took up the cause to establish what they call the Health Center Act of 1965,
okay.
which provided resources, financial resources, to establish community health centers in any city or any area, so it's urban and rural, in the country, and communities just needed to organize and apply for funding, and funding support was given. As you can appreciate, the federal government doesn't just give you money.
Right.
They give you resources.
Absolutely.
But there are certain stipulations
mm-hmm.
that go along with them. And there are still 19, but the ones that matter if you were going to get federal support was, first of all, our mission is to serve anyone regardless of their financial status.
Okay.
All community health centers, and there are about 2,500 of us across the country in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands
mm-hmm.
with over 20,000 sites. And all of us are established in low-income communities.
Hmm.
So by design, we go into communities where individuals have low income and that they are underserved. Their access to health care, as I said.
Okay.
If they were using emergency rooms, then
right.
a health center would allow them better access to care. The second thing is our boards
mm-hmm.
are established. We have governance boards. Most of us are 501c3, not-for-profit
okay.
organizations. And our board of directors are a majority of patients and residents of the communities that we serve.
Wow.
So that is, I give you two of the 19.
So. Yeah.
And the third thing that's really important is that we are primary care.
Hmm.
So we focus on preventive care
okay.
and routine care. If you think of the health systems in the city, HUP and Temple
mm-hmm.
and Penn, we act like the front doors.
Okay.
We are the ones that focus on and encourage people to really do preventive screening
mm-hmm.
because that can detect things earlier. We provide routine health care in the basic primary care services, which are adult health, pediatrics, OBGYN.
Mm-hmm.
We also do HIV AIDS medical services. We provide family planning services.
Right.
We have dental services. We have laboratory services. So we have a full scope of services, and we integrate that with behavioral health services,
mm-hmm.
case management services.
Right.
We have years ago when health centers were first started, they had community health workers. And as the funding, as what happens is we lose funding. And so community health workers were an important part of a community health center staffing because they were from the community. They could go into the community. They could work with folks who were having a difficult time accessing care.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost that workforce until recently
okay.
because of funding. But today there was a recognition in the industry, and I give this statistic, and every time I give it, it just gives me chills.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 10 largest cities in
okay.
the country, Philadelphia has the worst health indices of those 10 large cities.
Are you serious?
And one would say, well, how can that be?
Right.
Because we're a health mecca in terms of our health institutions. But part of the reason there is a disconnect there is because you can treat healthcare. So remember what I said.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with individuals who are dealing with poverty.
Right.
And poverty, by its very nature, presents barriers.
It does.
And you are in a survival mode on a daily basis. You wake up and you worry about, do I eat?
Yeah.
Do I use my resources to keep a roof over my head?
Go through that hierarchy of needs. Yeah, it's real.
And so buying medicine sometimes
drops
to the bottom.
Right, right.
Or drops off the list because you don't have the resources to do that.
So, you know, it makes me think about, you know, growing up, we used to have this joke where, you know, you just put triple six on, you know, just swallow some 666 for everything, right? Or what we would call Tussin because it wasn't Robitussin, right? So just throw some Tussin on there and keep it moving. But it, as funny as it is, it was a reality because so many said, you know what, rather than going to get proper care, I would just self-medicate based on my situation.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that doesn't cure you.
No, Tussin does not cure everything. There's the disclaimer, guys.
So what the industry has recognized is that we've got to deal with those barriers in a very real way. We have the finest doctors. Mm-hmm. All of our doctors at Spectrum are board certified in their specialties.
Okay.
So they could work anywhere. They just happen to want to work in the communities that we serve.
They have a heart for the people.
They have a heart for the people,
absolutely.
And that makes a difference. But even their best prescription or their best treatment, if an individual is really dealing in a survival mode, then it doesn't. They really can't embrace dealing with their health care. So our support systems, our case managers, our behavioral health workers, professionals, if you become we treat a lot of chronic disease, diabetes, asthma, hypertension. And again, if you're struggling with, okay, how am I going to do the regimen that would be involved in maintaining my health care, sometimes getting a diagnosis like that is very depressing. We serve 85% of our patient base registers as depressed.
Wow.
And so if you're dealing with daily life decisions, what we do is a behavioral health specialist will help you understand that you are not a victim to your illness.
Yeah.
You do have choices. And sometimes it's hard for you to see those choices.
Right.
But somebody can help you walk through what your choices might be.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I like to think about a health center, which we're different from our institutional partners, and we relate to all of our institutional partners, because, again, I told you, we're the front door. Mm-hmm. But if our patients need specialty services, if they need x-ray, if they need inpatient care, we facilitate their access to those services.
So we've got the healthcare center down, and you've helped to kind of allay some of the fears that some have around health centers, and to kind of defy some of the stereotypes that exist over health centers. But it's clear that you have been doing this for some time, because
a little while.
The 50th anniversary is coming up on September 21st. And so talk to the listening audience relatively quickly about this anniversary, why it's important, one, to be celebrating 50 years of providing the service for the community, but then also how to get involved and how to get there and support.
We are excited about 50 years. We are probably one of the only health centers in the city. There are a couple who are approaching that, but we are at the 50-year mark. And we were started again by residents in North Philly, citizens who recognized the need for organized health services. And they actually started out as a family planning program, and it grew in size. And they recognized that a lot of the women that they were serving were not in routine primary care.
Mm.
So my predecessor who was a 30-year individual, applied for federal dollars. So we do receive federal dollars to subsidize the cost of care, which we received in 1983.
Okay.
It allowed us to integrate the primary care services that I shared with you about. So we've been doing that over these last 50 years. During that course of time, as we continue to provide services and to grow, we've been able to construct a new facility in our West Philly community. We were in 10,000 square feet, and we capped out of that. And
there we
so
go.
We said, okay, now if we're going to continue to serve, we need a new facility. And that's the point at which I came in 2004 to help us do that. So we are very proud that we have our 36,000 square foot LEED certified building at 52nd and Haverford. We also have a site in North Philly, which is our site that precedes the West Philly site.
Okay.
And we have a newer site in South Philly at Reed and 33rd Street, which is our site that we established last year.
And so what happens on September 21st? Because we're going to celebrate all of those locations.
In the growth of our services to our community residents, but we're also going to celebrate others.
Wow.
In the community, because it takes
it takes a
group. It does. It does. And so we are celebrating 50 gems who, from their vantage point, have also worked to establish healthier communities.
Beautiful.
And to look after the well-being. So our 50 gems include some of our political delegates who have been in the trenches for, they help support us getting our facility, and some of our financial individuals who help support us to develop, because our facility is not just a place for health services, but it was a catalyst for economic development in our neighborhood. So,
and so you're bringing all of them together?
We're bringing all of them and our other institutional partners that we work with, and some of our other community-based partners, so some of our mental health partners, because we don't do mental health, but we need mental health. We we have a holistic approach to care for individuals. So we're celebrating 50 of our partners who have worked in the community. Our award for access to care is going to Reverend Lorena Marshall Blake, who is the president of the IBC Foundation. And not only has she been working in healthcare for many years, and we know her as a pastor in the community and as a community activist. So we're very pleased to be able to lift her up with our other gems to show that, you know, as a community, we can be healthier, we can be stronger, we can determine our destiny. We can effectively break the cycle of poverty if we focus. One of the things that we do that I think we do well is we educate.
That's important.
We help you understand that you can manage your care. Therefore, you can manage your life.
So tell them where they can attend this gala.
Okay.
And where they can purchase tickets.
Okay. So you can go online at our website, www.spectrumhs.org, and there will be a link there for the gala. The gala is going to be, as you said, Thursday, the 21st of September, at the Crystal Ballroom. Ballroom in Center City, the Wanamaker Building, at 6 o'clock. We invite all to come.
Wonderful.
And join us in a celebration for not only what Spectrum has done, but what we have done as a community to increase the well-being of those in our neighborhood.
You have heard directly from the CEO of Spectrum Health Services, Phyllis Cater. She is talking about the mission of a great organization in our community. Not only just the mission and the focus, but the impact that partnership has in the village and how we build a better community, not only through togetherness, but wellness and Health, 50 years. That's definitely worth celebrating in our community. September 1st, make sure you go check them out.
21st.
The 21st, I'm sorry, September 21st. Make sure you go check them out. Be there, support this great mission. It is such an honor to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much. I always appreciate the opportunity to share about our work, mm-hmm. to encourage people to get health care. Access to health care is there. It is important for folks to really understand what they can do mm-hmm. to be healthier.
Go check out Spectrum Health Services. If you're in the city of Philadelphia, they are the real deal. The real deal. And so, you know, guys, we always talk about Black history. I bring up this week's Black History Fact. And yes, you may wonder, if you're new to this, why we talk about Black history every week. Well, it's because we make Black history every day. We don't stop and we don't wait for a month to celebrate it. We make history every day. And so I'm going to bring up a little known Black history fact. This is about one man, George Edwin Taylor. You may not know that name, but he was born in the pre-Civil War South to a mother who was free and a father who was enslaved. George Edwin Taylor would become the first African-American selected by a political party to be its candidate for the presidency of the United States. I know you're thinking Jesse Jackson. Yeah, I know, but it was George Edwin Taylor. Now, George, his mother at the age of two moved from Arkansas to Illinois, and she died a few years later. He fended for himself before arriving in Wisconsin by paddle boat in 1865. Then he was raised near La Crosse by a politically active Black family. I'll let that sit there for a minute. The Village, as Phyllis talked about. He attended Wayland University and then returned to La Crosse, where he went to work for the La Crosse Free Press and then the La Crosse Evening Star. And during those years from 1880 to 1885, he produced newspaper columns for local papers as well as articles for the Chicago Inter-Ocean. And it was his newspaper work that brought him into politics, especially labor politics. He ultimately became a leader and an office holder in Wisconsin's statewide Union Labor Party and then his own newspaper, that's Entrepreneurship in Action. The Wisconsin Labor Advocate became one of the newspapers of the party. Now, in 1887, he was a member of the Wisconsin delegation to the first national convention of the Labor Union Party, and that meeting happened. What meeting? Yes, the meeting where they suggested that this man ultimately become more active as a political leader in the country. And so in 1891, he moved to Iowa. Now check this out. And this is a whole conversation for another day, where he continued his interest in politics, first in the Republican Party and then with the Democrats. I guess that's a guy who's just focused on his agenda for his people. I'll leave that out there. We'll talk about that another day. And he became the president of the National Colored Men's Protective Association. That's an early civil rights org. And then the National Negro Democratic League. Now, that was an organization of Blacks within the Democratic Party. And then from 1900 to 1904, he aligned himself with the populist faction that attempted to reform the Democratic Party. Here's where this thing gets really juicy. Taylor and other independent-minded African-Americans in 1904 joined the first national political party created exclusively for and by Blacks, the National Liberty Party. Yeah, I'll pause for that one. I'll let that sit too. The party met its national convention in St. Louis in 1904 with delegates from 36 states. And when the party's candidate for president ended up in an Illinois jail, the NLP executive committee approached Taylor and asked him to be the party's candidate. Now, in 1904, a Black candidate by a Black political party that would be a bona fide third party with 36 states of impact. That candidacy might get a little bit of attention in 1904, but understand that the party's platform didn't have a local agenda. It was national. It was universal suffrage, regardless of race. We're going to address it. Federal protection of the rights of all citizens. Sounds familiar? Federal anti-lynching laws. Additional black regiments in the U.S. Army. Federal pensions for all former slaves. Government ownership and control of all public carriers to ensure equal accommodations for all citizens, and even the home rule for the District of Columbia. While he believed and he knew that whites thought that his candidacy was a joke, he stood firm on the fact that an independent political party could mobilize the African-American vote and was the only practical way that blacks could exercise political influence. It's so much in there, I could do a sermon and a Bible study. George Edwin Taylor, our first political candidate for the presidency of the United States. That is our Black History Fact of the Week. Check it out. Teresa will post it on the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram so you can check out the facts about this amazing, amazing man. And so I'm going right into the song of the week because there's so much left. We have the Uniting the City Health Initiative with James Morton and Pastor Reginald Johnson. We have the Made Men Initiative, founder Kai Dele. They are all in studio. You'll hear more about it. The song of the week is Lucy Pearl, Dance Tonight. That was Lucy Pearl. I want to dance tonight. That's an incredible record. I'm sorry, Pastor, that was in my BC days.
No, I'm watching very closely. That's all right.
I don't need to end up in the pastor's study for another conversation. That song you will find on our Facebook page. Make sure you check it out. Check out the video. That is great classic music for us. From us in the studio with me, James Morton from Easy Scripts, and Pastor Reginald C. Johnson, the senior pastor of the Corpus Christi Missionary Baptist Church, and the host co-host of Hour of Power on Mondays from 6 to 7. It's great to have you guys in the building. Let's talk really quickly about the health fair. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to do two things. So we'll talk about the health fair. I'm going to shift to Made Men and then bring you guys back to talk about lasting initiatives.
Okay.
And impact in the community. So let's talk really quickly about this Uniting the Health, Uniting the City Health Fair. What do they need to know? The listening audience has seen the logos. They've heard about it on Facebook, and they're wondering, okay, so what's the purpose of this thing? I see injured worker. I see, you know, the family, but I need to know how this all ties in. Is it just cotton candy and hot dogs, or is this something that is substantive for the neighborhood? And so Saturday, September 9th from 11 to 6, we'll be at Greater St. Matthew's, and we will do what, James? Tell us.
Well, during the event, we have a number of folks that will be coming out, so we're going to have a fair atmosphere, absolutely. But our focus is on healing, okay? So we want to reach the community, and this health fair is about mind, body, and soul. So we've come to the community through the churches, and we partnered with the churches. And our desire is to reach folks at that level and answer questions, bring some more education to the process as to, hey, especially for the injured worker, what's going on there? What do you need to know? We know it can be a daunting task for families to navigate that through their injury. It's just tough. It's very tough.
Absolutely. So we've seen that impact not just in the financial perspective, but there's tons of stress that occurs when you're hurt and you want to provide for your family. Right. You're a man, right? And
Correct.
So, Pastor, and you're dealing with this on a constant basis, not just from the financial aspect and helping others restore their family and the income, but dealing with the stress, dealing with the impact right. that it has on the family. As a pastor, why is this initiative so important for our community?
Well, this initiative, and I think that is important for the church to always be at the press point or at the edge of knowing what the need is for those who sits in the pew. And we see that as an opportunity to partner with Easy Script Pharmacy and with others to provide opportunity for those who are injured to get the proper a la carte or proper opportunities for them to get either a doctor, an attorney, and prescription drugs so that it relieve the pressure of them having to be worried about their injured period while they yet deal with the period of process of going through this injured working process. And so the church is a place where we actually see people on an everyday basis. So why not partner with the persons providing the services and say, let's go from a holistic standpoint and work together and make sure that every injured worker gets an opportunity to get an attorney, get a doctor, and get scripts and not worry about the costs on the front side.
Amen.
And
wow.
that make sure that they get better. Because a strong person is, it should be the objective of every believer in the kingdom of God, that everybody should have an opportunity to get the proper services and come back to church well. And so that's what this is going to do, is provide information, because we have a lot of persons who are injured and going to work and don't even know that they can get proper services through this program and get a doctor, lawyer, and scripts, and don't have any out-of-pocket costs.
No out-of-pocket costs. That should have you jumping up and down in your seat wherever you are if you're listening to this message. And this is such a unique partnership because you have church and state.
Working
hand in hand. And so, James, you represent the heart of the industry. And so it's such a unique opportunity to see the heartbeat of an industry so focused and compassionate on people. And so talk more about your passion for ensuring health and ensuring wellness of the community.
Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting thing. So, you know, I like to say nobody gets up in the morning and leaves work saying, I plan on getting hurt today.
Right.
You know, I want
to
get hurt today.
Right.
There are some basic rights that you are afforded through workers' compensation. And a couple of those rights are, you know, you're going to receive pay.
Right.
What everybody doesn't know is you're going to receive partial pay. and the financial stress and the financial burden that comes on folks through that. So, you know, you're seeing folks that are running up their credit cards just to pay bills.
Right.
You're seeing the mortgage fall behind because, you know, they just don't have the finances that they had normally coming in. In our part, you know, on some of the service end of this, you know, the insurance companies might not be willing to cover for costs, whether it's seeing their physician, whether it's seeing their physical therapist, whether it's receiving their medications, all these things that are supposed to help them achieve wellness and be able to come back to work. So we stepped in and relieved the financial burden. But with that said, you know, your heart goes out to these folks because not everybody understands that I'm only going to receive partial pay.
Right.
You know? Yep. So the financial end of that becomes big. So with this health there, we're also reaching out to the banking industry. We're reaching out to folks that can come and talk to folks about their credit. And how do you handle your credit when you get yourself in trouble this way? So it's not... This event is not just focused on what we do personally. It's focused on the complete mission. And this mission is to touch the community, get to the community at that level, working with our churches and with our congregations. My father was a Presbyterian minister.
All right.
He passed this past year.
You heard that Baptist, all right, in the background.
Yes, I did.
He's a PK.
I'm a PK. Dad's church was down in southwest Philadelphia. He traveled from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, down there an hour each way, you know, four or five, six times a week.
Okay.
You know, back and forth, back and forth. But he instilled that in us as his kids that, hey, we're about giving. We're about loving. We're about caring. This is what Christ wants. If we're going to be Christ-like, we've got to be looking at that
really
model, right?
Yeah. Right. Let's really do this. And so there's actually four churches involved in this. Greater St. Matthew, which is where it will be located September 9th. Dr. Stephen Avenger is a part in that. Yesha Ministries from South Philly. That's Bishop Darrell Robinson in the building. Corpus Christi. That's Pastor Reginald Johnson. And then the Heart of Worship Restoration Church, Reverend Kevin Aiken. And so you guys have reached out to the four corners.
Right. We've actually have pulled together 25 churches in four sections of the city that would be pretty much the catalyst of this event. The objective is to get the involvement of as many churches as possible for this first event. This is only the first of many that will take place over the years to come. But for this particular event on September the 9th, we have committed 25 committed churches that will be supporting this event from North Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, the Northeast section, and as well as one of the greatest area of Philadelphia, it's West Philadelphia, where I happen to serve over the past several years. Have nothing wrong with the other parts of the city, but West Philly is just great because I'm there, you know.
I had a feeling that would kick in at some point. And so listen up, guys. Uniting the City Health Initiative, Saturday, September 9th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. This event is free. Free.
Don't want to miss it, man.
Free, okay? Greater St. Matthew Baptist Church is the location, 16th and Blavish Streets. That's in the Nicetown area of Philadelphia. It is supported by 25 churches, four of them being great anchors to support and funnel our people to the event. This thing is not just a flash in the pan event. It is here to stay. It will be an annual event because the mission never ends to ensure that we are healthy, that we're focused on wellness, and that the 360 of the individual is covered throughout. And so, a Heart of the City, thank you James Morton and to Pastor Reginald Johnson for spearheading this effort. You can go to any of those churches, get more information. They will be passing out flyers. You'll see banners around the city. But more importantly, show up and tell a friend. It is important that we get well and stay well together. I'm going to a break, and when I come back, Ramses, you've seen us on NBC 10. I know. I got the text already. Everybody said, yo, who is the dapper brother standing next to you? Forget you, Malik. Who's that guy? Well, guess what? He's in the building. He's going to talk to us. He's the Diversity Initiative Director for Comcast. And he's going to talk about the Made Men Initiative along with founder Kai Dele. She is in the building. You'll hear more about that event occurring on Friday, September 8th. We're going to a break. Take out your stethoscope. Place it on the radio dial. You are listening to the Heart of the City. We'll be right back.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the Heart of the City, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The Heart of the City with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
So, we are back. Heart of the City. Kai Dele is in the building, the founder of the Made Men Initiative, and Ramses Jean-Louis. I had the opportunity of spending time with him at NBC 10. I thought I was cool until I sat next to the real cool brother, and we sat and talked about this great initiative. Now, Ramses is the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Director for Comcast, and his job is to talk about getting you involved and making sure that the workforce reflects the community in which the corporation serves. But Comcast took time out to partner with Kai Dele once again.
Yes.
On such a great initiative. And so, Kai, welcome to Heart of the City. Talk to us more about the Made Men Initiative. What is it? Why'd you start it? And how do we get involved?
Well, thank you for that introduction. I was like, who is he talking about? He makes me sound so amazing. Hey, so the Made Men is a phenomenal national initiative. It's 11 city tour this year. We're partnered with national organizations, 100 Black Men of America, Black Enterprise, National Urban League, and numerous other organizations. And our local partners includes Comcast and Premier Brand Marketing. And the initiative is quite simple. We honor top 50 African-American male leaders in every city. And the purpose of the initiative is to build a bridge between the inspirational male leaders, the aspirational male upcoming leaders, and the underserved future male leaders. So that is the purpose of the actual initiative.
So what made you start this event? I mean, you have the chops. You have done so well in the corporate space that you could pretty much put a footprint anywhere, and you woke up one day and said, you know what, I want to go around the world celebrating men of color and their impact in the community. Where did that come from?
Well, I wish I could say, you know, it just happened. It was organic, because in my former life, I used to manage athletes and entertainers, and I was around so many amazing, successful Black men, and they really wanted a bridge to be able to give back, to be able to inspire, you know, aspire and all the other things. So it just organically happened, and I wanted to be able to say thank you to them for all that they do. So it organically grew to what it is now, and thus far 300 to 500 men have been honored, and we've done so much work. So it's just organic, and immobilizing as we move forward.
And so it's, I want everyone to understand, just because you don't see a name on the list, understand that the ones who are selected are simply just a sampling mm-hmm. of the thousands of men who are doing this every day, the unsung heroes who are in, whether the your workplace is the corner office, or whether you are in construction, whether you are the plumber, or you are in our schools educating. You're making an impact. You are a made man in your own right. And so this is really just reflective of a small area of the city.
And you
brought one of the heroes with you.
Yes.
Brother Ramses, tell us about your experience with Made Men and why it's so important for Comcast, such a big company, to reach down and say, hey, you know what? We got to give back, and we're going to give back in this way.
Sure. Thank you, Malik. As you said earlier, I was very excited to partner with you to be on NBC 10, and I'm very excited to be here on your show today. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And again, it's a humbling experience, and I feel very blessed to be on this list of mm-hmm. accomplished men. You have men on the list like Marc Morial, mm-hmm. Tyrone Studemeyer,
right.
Malik Boyd, of course.
So
again, we have yeah. accomplished men who are not only making the world a better place, but they are involved in their communities now. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to continue to grow and to build on that momentum. And that's what Kai has given us. Kai has given us that platform where we can collaborate and find ways where we can partner with our community, partner yeah. with our brothers, so this way yeah. we can kind of usher in the next era of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So this is mm-hmm. what we enjoy. And at Comcast, as you mentioned earlier, that's what we want to do. We want to be reflective of the communities that we serve.
Right.
And how do we do that? We have to bring that great, diverse talent into the organization. And we do that by partnering with organizations like The Made Man.
Yeah. So Ramses, tell the listening audience and those who are watching us through the live stream, tell us about your experience and the impact that a mentor, that a male mentor had on your life.
Absolutely. You know, male mentors have had a phenomenal impact on my life. You know, again, starting with my father. You know, I've been mm-hmm. blessed. I grew up in a Brooklyn, New York, large family of eight.
Yeah.
And my dad was very influential. And, you know, I don't take that for granted, because everybody don't necessarily have that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, whenever I have an opportunity to give back, I do that. I'm on the board of directors for an organization called Turning Points for Children. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we care for children who might be at risk and families who might possibly be at risk, and make sure that we give them the support mechanisms that they need in order for them to continue and for them to grow together.
Wow. Wow. And so this is going to happen at the Comcast Center, and I had the opportunity of experiencing it a few years back.
Yes.
Which was an amazing event then. And
thank
so
you.
You've scaled it up
yes.
quite exponentially now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so what can attendees expect from this event that's occurring September 8th?
I think the best way to describe the reception is LinkedIn Live. It's just literally everyone in the city, the who's who in the city, have an opportunity to break bread, share network, and build a community together
mm-hmm.
under the same light. You know what I mean? Just sharing and just enjoying the moment. So I think I would like to describe it as LinkedIn Live. However, it is primarily based on the give back. Because, as you know, in the beginning of that day, we go into the school with our honorees to speak to underserved youth with the intent of mentoring these young men to become future leaders. And then we have a press conference, which the intent is really to brand the narrative of African-American men,
yeah.
not show off, rather showcase
yeah.
and inspire others. And in that evening, besides the LinkedIn Live and the networking and the great cocktail reception aspect of it, we do collect suits for underserved men so we can continue building that bridge. So that day, we deal with the inspirational, the aspirational, and the underserved men in one day and build bridges as well. And we partner with a minimum of 20 community organizations that we support and recognize at the event as well for their impact, so we can continue to support the cause when we leave. They continue their work.
So you're building a vast network of workers.
Yeah.
Of leaders.
We're trying.
Yeah,
We're trying.
Of trendsetters. And ensuring that these cities are also connecting to other cities mm-hmm. as well in some unique parallels and efforts. And so How can one who is looking through their closet, like me, some of those suits that were, you know, 34 and can fit in it so much, but it's a great suit and I want to give it to someone who deserves it and can do well with that suit. Mm-hmm. How do I get to you? How do I get involved in the suit drives and some of these other initiatives?
Well, the easiest way at this point is to go to mademan.org and contact us via email or a telephone. However, during the reception, we do collect suits as well. And we're partnered with some local organizations that you can continue to donate to after we're gone.
So, and how do they purchase tickets to the event itself? Is that through the website?
Yes, the mademan.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so, Ramses, you talked about the list of individuals who are in the room. And so Talk to me more about the unique benefit of being in a room with some of these established brothers and what that does for someone who's looking to sustain where they are and those who are looking to aspire and get to, you know, that level. How important are rooms like that?
Sure. So you mentioned earlier the importance of mentoring. So mentoring is very important. Yeah. Sponsorship is very important, making sure that you have someone as a coach. But again, it can be done on a peer level. So again, you know, what Kai is giving us is this platform where we're able to support one another and we're able to help each other and see how we can kind of, you know, sometimes you have to be a friend before you need a friend. Mm. So you're getting into a room full of people who look like you, who are looking to support, and we have a lot of allies as well that we can support on. The excitement is that, you know, like you mentioned, that list is just a short list. Mm-hmm. It's just a sampling of what you find in the community, but people are excited about this. I took my, you know, everybody's getting ready for back to school right now, so I had to take my son to go get his haircut because I don't want to be in the barbershop this weekend.
Yes, sir.
And my barber said he saw the flyer on Facebook, and he got really excited, and he said how he recognized a couple of people on there, and he wants to come out and support. So the fact that we have it on social media and people are looking at it and people are talking about it and they respect the folks who have been listed and they're like, you know what? What do I need to do? How do I get on this list next year? Mm. How do I partner? How do I learn from them? And again, we learn from each other. Yeah. You know, sometimes you need reverse mentoring because we have to listen to the younger generation. So this way we know what the next steps that we need to do and what we need to how we need to generate.
Absolutely. And we could talk about this for hours. I only get an hour to go through this thing and we are nearing the end. So Ramses, leave a just a point of wisdom for the men who are listening. Give them something to take with them throughout the week.
The point of wisdom is, again, go out, find yourself a mentor, find yourself a sponsor, but also take a look at who you could be mentoring, who you can be sponsoring, who you can make sure that you coach and bring them to the next level. But most importantly, make sure you go to mademan.org and come out next week, September 8th. On Friday at 6 p.m. at the Comcast Center. Looking forward to meeting all of you in person.
Wonderful. And Kai, words of wisdom for those who are listening. Give them something.
Well, I believe that giving back is a responsibility and a privilege and our right. We have to make sure that we understand that responsibility and own it. And if you figure, if you're trying to visualize what the Made Man is about, try to picture a man in the middle of a ladder with his hand out below him and his hand up above him. Mm. And that's what we are. That's what we are about.
Wow. That reminds me of the painting, He Ain't Heavy.
Right.
Yeah, where the hand is reaching up and one is reaching down. And so that's very important. What now, Kai, what is your vision over the next 5 years? What can we expect from this Made Men initiative? I mean, because this thing is taking off in a major way. You got Atlanta calling, you know, Chicago. Right. Chicago's calling Philly saying, look, we celebrate you guys. And how do we get together and stay together? What's your thoughts?
The bigger vision is building a network of African-American leaders that really support each other and grow this beyond me. Because as a woman, this is part of my journey, but the true journey is with the man's journey.
Absolutely.
We're definitely looking forward to a conference where all of our alumni can meet and get to build the network and continue to support each other. And we're also bridging the gap between Africa and African-American leaders. Mm-hmm. African leaders, African-American leaders with the Made Man Africa that will be launching during Congressional Black Caucus at the embassy. And actually, Malik Boyd, I think you're on the advisory committee for that.
Look at God. Look at God. So I just got an upgrade,
right,
y'all.
The goal is international, and the goal is building a network of serious folks who understand the responsibility of being a leader.
Absolutely.
And the men are our foundation, and if we don't build that up, we have nothing.
So one of the biggest things that I want to talk to the listening audience about is losing the ego. we get nowhere if that ego is in the suitcase. The ego has That's a way right. of inflating the suitcase and keeping all the good things that we need to bring on our journey out. And so even having the opportunity to share space with Brother Ramses today, it wasn't about ego. It was just two brothers who just met but have a common cause.
Right.
And so that's the premise of some of the Made Men initiatives, getting together. I don't have to know you personally. I didn't have to be at the barbecue last week, but you are my brother.
Yes, exactly.
And you are not so heavy that I can't lift you up and vice versa.
Right.
And so get out to the Made Men event next week, September 8th.
Comcast Center.
The Comcast Center is going to be an exciting event. Go to the website, buy a ticket for a friend, and support these African-American men who are doing great things in our community. Now, here's the thing. I talked earlier about a Black history fact. George Edwin Taylor, that's a guy who ran as the first African-American to ever run for the presidency of the United States in the early 1900s, where it really wasn't cool, where there was no TV, Facebook, Instagram, nothing. This was true hand-to-hand combat, and he believed that the third party of African-American men and women coming together was the only way to move our community forward. Here's the thing. He needed his brothers. He needed other men who believed in his cause. He needed women who supported the vision. It wasn't just about him. It was about a movement and a progression, taking this thing forward. He may have had a great suit. He may not. But what he did have was the heart and the belief in his people. And he also had the love for his people to go out and do the work. That is the vision of groups like Made Men, the vision of Kaidele, the vision of Ramses, and some of these great men who are listed in this particular event. You don't have to run for president, but if you do, our goal is to be there for you. You don't have to aspire to be the CEO, but if you do, we are right there with you. Wherever you are, whatever your place in the kingdom is, if you do it with excellence, our job is to support you with excellence and make sure you can be the best you, and you'll help us be the best us that we can be. And together, we can make a difference, not just for our city, not just for our state, but for our country. We need it now more than ever. The show, Healing the City. You have been listening to The Heart of the City. You can follow us on Instagram, Heart City Radio, Facebook, Heart City Radio, Twitter, Heart City Radio. And as always, feel beautiful, look beautiful, and act beautiful. Why? Because you are beautiful. I'll see you next week.
Politics, progress, game boards, objects, view like pawns to be change up our mindset. Value of the dollars at the center of this conflict. The lives only matter if they serve to make a profit. But if a midget sees further on the shoulders of the giant, then we should see further than the tyrant and build a future within alliance. With success is our science in the quest to go higher. It's the heart of the city.